As I went out walking this week, I had all kinds of scenarios running through my mind. Maybe you find yourself doing the same thing. There's a lot of what ifs and what's it going to happen. I was thinking about how most of you must be faring. We are preparing for online school. You're almost ready to launch on Monday. We're a solid week into work from home for many of you. And we're 2 days into a 2-week stay-at-home order. I was thinking about all of you that are in the critical services areas and what it must be like to be in a job at this time. I thought about our vulnerable people as we've been praying for them, and businesses and churches that are closed. I took a walk down Main Street with Cheryl, and it was kind of stark. There's signs on every door. Most of the businesses are closed now. And the same thing, at the same time, I marvel at the sounds as I walk through the yard of the birds singing. It's like spring has begun and the geese are flying over, unaware of everything that's happening down here. For them, this is a season of optimism. It's spring. And what a contrast of life all of this seems to be. Now, there are some signs of recovery showing up, a stimulus package that was just passed by Congress. And I'm asking myself, are things going to start getting back to normal? But the truth is, I don't know. We just keep adjusting as we know more, and it seems like we know more every other day. So maybe you're feeling those swings too, from upbeat 1 hour to weary the next. And it just seems to keep going on day after day. So whether you find yourself this morning trying hard to be positive and encouraging, or you find yourself on the edge of falling into despair, I want to ask you to stay with me, okay? Don't click off yet. And I say that because, we've all been watching a lot of videos. I've been immersed this last week. And I find that as my mind wanders, it's so easy just to click the button and go on to something else. And I want to invite you, don't do that today. Don't click off just yet. So I'm glad if you're still here watching this morning. And it really takes discipline to stay tuned in this video. So here's why I'm asking you. Whatever you're feeling about our future this morning, whether you're holding it all together or you're scared and you feel like you're falling apart, we need something more than a positive attitude. So something more if we're going to get through to the other side of crisis. Have you heard about the guy who fell off the 20-story building? On the way down, someone yelled out the window, "How's it going?" And he yelled back, "So far, so good." But we know that wishful thinking or rose-colored glasses aren't going to get us through to the other side. But what we do need this morning, we already have. That's the good news. What we need, we already have to get through this crisis. And that is that we need the confident expectation that God has better days ahead. God has better days ahead. That expectation is called hope. Hope is what carries us through every trial we face, wherever we are in life. It's the hope that we need, hope that will carry us through homeschooling for another week or two or a month. It's hope that will encourage us when our job is threatened or our business fails. It's hope that will uphold us when our church doors are closed and we can't meet together. It's hope that will sustain our families if we're distanced by fear or necessity. And it's hope that will lift us from discouragement when we don't understand, when we don't know the future. So friends, we need hope, hope that reminds us that God has better days ahead. Last week we reminded each other that we are not alone. We are apart, yes, alone, no. So why are we not alone? Well, we're not alone because we know that even though we are not together, we are the church together. And where two or three are gathered, Jesus is in our midst. We know that we have the Holy Spirit living in us. And because we are not alone, we are also not without hope. And that's what I want you to hear this morning. We don't have all the answers today, but you and I, we do have hope. So whether you're watching by yourself or you're watching with someone else this morning, take a moment to remind them you have hope. Or if it's yourself, just say it out loud. I have hope this morning. This is something we can actually put on the windows along with those hearts that remind us that, you know, people are expressing love, but also hope, H-O-P-E. We have hope this morning. Hope says, I am counting on you, Lord. The scripture reminds us, I am counting on the Lord. Yes, I am counting on him, and in his word, I put my hope. In other words, I am counting on the Lord to act on our behalf, on my behalf. So the biblical idea with the psalmist is that the Lord's word is actually God's action here, that based on God's promises, God is going to bring his divine mercy, his divine love, his divine favor into action. No matter what the circumstances are, he's going to be with his people. He's going to rescue his people. So in other words, we are counting on God's promise to his people that God has better days ahead. But let's face it, it doesn't feel that way. When we're hearing the current reality of bad news followed by more bad news, it's really hard to feel hopeful. And what if things get worse? How do we hold on to hope if things actually get worse? Jesus warned his followers about that. He told them that things would get bad. He said, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. And I think plagues and pandemics, you know, fall within the realm of what Jesus is talking about here. That in this context that, you know, there are going to be difficult times before Jesus returns. And maybe you've sat down and had this conversation in your family or with others. And I think it's okay to talk about, you know, what might come, what might happen. Jesus thought it important to share it with his disciples so they were aware before these things came. But it's also very important not to get stuck focused on the bad things. He said, with all that's coming, make sure you don't panic. He said, see to it that you are not alarmed. Instead, he said, be ready.
You know, as we talk about what Jesus' words were, you know, do not panic, it makes me think about one of the first crises that I remember going through is 9/11, as some of you may also remember. I remember being at work and stunned as we saw what was happening in New York City and really not knowing what was coming, not knowing what the future would hold. And on top of that, you were in Guatemala on a mission trip and the airports were closing down. It looked like flights might not be going for indefinitely, and we had no idea how or if you were going to be able to get back home. But, you know, God was really in the midst of all that. We had a great church family who prayed for us and supported us and helped me get through that period. And then, you know, they treated you so well in Guatemala and prayed with you there. It was really quite inspiring. In fact, when I would get a chance to visit with you, which was very rarely, I could tell that you were just really settled and at peace while you were there. And eventually, airports opened up and you were able to fly home, and it all worked out good there. The big fears that we had really didn't pan out.
Yes. So hope is not a feeling. It's a confident expectation. You know, we've been through a lot together and with our children and our journeys of business together, and God has been faithful through all of that. He has brought us through times, not always with the results that we expected, but He is faithful, and He brought us through. And because of that history with God and knowing that He's faithful, we can face today knowing that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So He will be with us again through this time. And that helps me, even as an EMT working in the community and working with the great hospital staff that we have, preparing for, we don't know what it'll be like. I have that same hope that God is with us, and He's helping us to do the best that we can do to prepare. And on the other side, we'll look back and we'll say, wow, look what you have done, God.
Yeah, I think that is kind of our experience as we've walked through things, that in the end we can look back and say, you know, God was in it, God was with us, and we're not alone. And so we do have that confident expectation. And you're going to need that, Cheryl, because, you know, I just missed my first haircut this last week, and it probably doesn't matter too much, but Cheryl's missed hers about 2 weeks, so she needs this confident expectation, because I'm going to be giving her a haircut this week.
Oh, no.
That'll be fun.
Every day we spend on earth has a purpose. So we strive to live as Jesus taught us, and He said, do not worry. Jesus said, don't worry about today. Trust in the Father, trust also in me. He said, don't freak out, because Jesus is equipping His followers with far-sighted courage. So God has better days ahead. So we need a long view in the middle of a crisis. Jesus tells us things like this are going to come. He calls them birth pangs. You know, we call them labor pains before a baby is born. But it's a prelude to something brand new and something hopeful that is coming, something on the way. Jesus again said, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pangs. See to it then that you don't panic. Hang in there. Because Jesus said this, the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. So God will accomplish His purpose, even in the middle of a crisis. And we still have a commission to make followers who make followers of Jesus. He said, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So in the middle of a crisis, we need hope's long view. We have a purpose. So there's nothing more hopeful, I think, than a hero story. Our leadership team, they heard a message this week by Covenant Pastor Craig Groeschel, and it included a story of Admiral Jim Stockton. And I heard that message again as I was reading a book by Max Lucado called Fearless. And the story is shared by author Jim Collins. See, Admiral Stockton, he spent 8 years as a POW in the Vietnam War. So as the highest ranking officer, he underwent ongoing brutal torture. But at the same time, he was responsible for the care and nurture and leading of his men, even in those brutal conditions. He survived the crisis and he came out on the other side. And so in this interview, he was asked how he survived. He said, I never lost faith in the end of the story. He always maintained confidence in the long view that he would get out, that things would work out in the end. And then he was asked, who didn't make it out? He said, oh, that's easy, the optimists. I had to think about that for a moment because I try to be an optimist. But he said that they were the ones who said, we're going to be out by Christmas, and Christmas would come and go, and eventually they died of a broken heart. So it takes more than optimism to get over to the other side of a crisis. Max Lucado says it's like this. Real courage embraces twin realities of current difficulty and ultimate triumph. So life stinks right now. It's tough being stuck at home for 2 more weeks. We're not supposed to go out. But we won't be there forever. And that's the key, the long view of hope. God has better days ahead. Someone once said that everything will work out in the end. If it's not working out, it's not the end. It would And we need to remain wide open and eyes full of hope's long view. God's word reminds us, though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I'm attacked, I will remain confident. So God's word is telling us to remain confident that God is at work. God is with us. So be strong and courageous, all you who put your hope in the Lord. You and I must remain hopeful in the middle of a crisis. Not wishful, but rooted in that hope that comes from that belief that God will act on our behalf. Ray Johnston, he's a covenant pastor at Bayside Church. He's author of a book called Hope Quotient, and he writes this: just a little bit of hope makes anything possible. A little hope fuels the actions that help us bounce back. So as your pastor, I believe the greatest gift that I can give you today is hope. And I've decided to share hope through one story and one strategy. So the story comes from the book of John in chapter 11. If you'd like to follow along, open up your Bibles. You can go to John chapter 11. Or if you have an app, go ahead, open it up, John 11. I call this the second greatest hope story in the Bible. For me, this is one of the most unlikely heroes in the Bible, but you and I really can relate to this person because this person has to make a decision to hope beyond what they know to be true, beyond what they see. So the story starts with Jesus' friend, Lazarus, getting sick. He's 2 days away in a village. Lazarus, he's a brother of Mary and Martha, and these are people that Jesus is really close to. They're like his family. The Bible says that Jesus loves them dearly. Jesus gets word that Lazarus is sick, and his sisters send for Jesus to come because they know that Jesus can heal people who are sick. They've witnessed it over and over as they've followed Jesus. But Jesus doesn't go yet. He says this illness won't end in death, but it's for God's glory. So Jesus waited before going to him until Lazarus was already dead. So we pick up the story in John chapter 11, verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world. After she said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. So Mary, she goes out to Jesus in the story, and they have this tearful reunion. It's one of the places where the Bible talks about Jesus in his humanity wept in this sorrowful display of grief, you know, grief over the destruction and damage that death brings into the world, death that ultimately is a result of sin. And so people begin to question, why didn't Jesus come earlier? Why didn't he keep Lazarus from dying? So we pick this back up in verse 38. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take the stone away, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? And I think this is the hero moment in the story. This is unexpressed, but it actually is in here if we understand the context. See, Martha, as the family member, and we read in the Bible that she's the one who gets things done, she would have been the one who probably had the tomb closed and sealed for her brother's death. She knows he's dead, And she believes that he's going to rise again someday in the resurrection. So she has this hope. Jesus is the Messiah, and he will return, and Christ's people will rise with him. So even though everything tells her that for now her brother is gone, Jesus invites her to remove the stone, to open the tomb. So the question becomes, is her hope in the long view enough to get her through this immediate crisis of faith? You know, you and I can relate to Martha's story this morning. Can we hope beyond what we know? Can Martha hope beyond what she sees? The answer to this story is she can. And when Martha meets Jesus' condition to move the stone from the tomb, it's the last step of faith she can take. There's nothing more that Martha can do in this situation. But this is the amazing point where Jesus steps in and the resurrection life takes over and brings life into Lazarus. The eternal life triumphs over hopelessness. And that's our message today. The eternal life triumphs over any of our hopelessness. Jesus calls Lazarus out of the tomb and he walks out. So we want to be like Martha. We want to be those who trust in Jesus until we see that hope always wins. And that's where the better days lie ahead. So that's one hope story to encourage us. And now I want to give us a hope strategy to practice this weekend as we move ahead. So one hope strategy. So in order to walk in hope, job number one, according to Ray Johnston in his book, Hope Quotient, job number one is to let go of anything toxic. Now you and I, we could probably think of lots of things in our lives that are toxic, but I really just, today, I just want to focus on one. And it's a big one for right now. That toxic thing in our lives right now that's trying to creep in and trying to crush our hope is worry. You and I really need to get rid of worry. I found myself going down that road this week, and Cheryl actually caught me. She said to me, "Tim, you're like taking a 180 today. You've turned around and you're walking down hope and fear." And I had to admit I was. I had to stop and turn around and reorient myself. I was getting caught up in the worry. The Bible tells us, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus." So to walk in hope, job number one is to let go of worry. So why is worry so damaging to hope? Because it robs us of our focus on Jesus. See, worry can't change anything. It can't change the past. Worry can't change the future. All it does is make us miserable in the present. Corrie Ten Boom, her words, they really fit our occasion today. She said, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It only empties today of its strength." Jesus spent time in his most famous sermon on the mountain talking about the damage of worry. He said this, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" The obvious answer to that question is, of course not. We can't do anything by worrying. So our hope strategy is to conquer worry. And that strategy is this, in three ways. One, don't make any long-term decisions in the middle of a crisis. So the idea here is that we need to trust God in the middle of the crisis. Don't despair. Don't make bad long-term decisions. We're going to get through to the other side. We just need to trust God in this and take it step by step. Don't worry, just take it step by step. We're gonna get through. Number two is this: respond to bad news in great ways. Don't despair. Do what you can, even if it seems like a little thing. You know, don't respond badly to bad news, but take a positive step, whatever that might be. And Martha, she just needed to trust Jesus and have the stone removed. The rest of it was in God's hands. And for us too, don't despair. React in positive, good ways. And number three, when we start worrying, shake it off and step up. Shake it off like the donkey and step up. The donkey who fell into a well. The farmer didn't know what to do with him. He had no means of getting the donkey out, so he decided the best thing he could do is just to simply bury the donkey down there in the well. And so he went and got his shovel and started shoveling dirt in. And the first shovelful fell on the back of the donkey, and the donkey was startled. He was stunned and frightened, and the dirt just started to pile up on his back. But he eventually started to calm down, and he shook the dirt off, and he stepped on it as it fell under his feet. And every shovelful that hit the donkey's back, he shook off and then stepped up. Shovel after shovel, shake after shake, step after step, until finally the donkey was at the top of the well and he stepped out. So you and I, we need to refuse to worry and let worry steal our future and bury us. Instead, what we want to do is set ourselves up for something great, something that God wants to do through us. Because we believe without a shadow of a doubt that we have hope and that we have better days to come. If you're new with us today, or maybe watching for the first time, or if you're sensing that the hope that we're talking about today is not something that you know, I want to invite you into that hope. Hope that is rooted in a relationship with Jesus. We're always pointing to Jesus. This hope isn't something that we can muster up on our own. It is always rooted in the life, death, and resurrection of the Son of God. And by a relationship with Him, we have this hope within us. Hope filling us and bubbling up out of us to trust God in every circumstance. And so if you are sensing the need to know Jesus today in this way that fills you with hope, a way that you don't yet know, then I invite you today to put your faith in Him, to trust Jesus as your leader, to trust Jesus as your forgiver in a time of crisis and for all eternity. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever dies or lives believing in me will never die." And so I want to invite you today to trust in the resurrection and life by simply giving your life to Jesus. You might do it in a prayer, something like this: "Lord Jesus, I need your hope today. I'm filled with fear in the middle of this crisis. And Lord Jesus, I need to know your peace. I want to know your peace. I want a relationship with you. Jesus, I am sorry for my sin. I believe that you died on the cross for me, giving your life for the forgiveness of my sins so that I might have new life in you. Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit and fill me with your hope that I may live in you forever. In Jesus' name I pray, amen." So if you have prayed that prayer today, and we would love to connect with you and encourage you on your walk with Jesus. So give us a tag or send us a message on our website, and we will be sure to respond. We also want to encourage you today, as we close our worship, to click on the song, on the worship song to close, or both songs if you haven't yet, and lift your voice to God in grateful praise for who God is and what God is doing in the midst of this crisis. And as you go today, as always, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you.